we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. And here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Kenya's Eliud Kipchoge, Catherine Ibargan, who were named the IAAF's Male and Female World Athletes of the Year during ceremonies in Monaco. Ladies first, the 34-year-old Ibargan is the reigning Olympic champion in the women's triple jump, and she was unbeaten in all eight of her competitions in that event in 2018. Catherine ended the year with a world-leading mark of 14.96 meters in the women's triple jump. And she also consistently came out on top in the women's long jump in 2018, setting a Colombian national record of 6.93 meters. Eliud Kipchoge is also 34 years old and the reigning Olympic champion in the men's marathon. In 2018, Kipchoge also established himself as the fastest marathoner in history. On September 16th, Eliud smashed the marathon world record, clocking 2 hours, 1 minute, and 39 seconds in Berlin, Germany. That bettered the previous mark by an amazing 1 minute and 18 seconds. Eliud also won the London Marathon for the third time in April. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Eliud Kipchoge after his world record performance in Berlin. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2018, let's listen in again as Eliud looks back on his spectacular run.
I feel good. I try to reflect and I could see how things will happen. I tried to go to watch the few last kilometers of the race. And
is it too soon for you to be thinking, and of course with your coach Patrick saying, well, there's room for improvement on that 201.39?
It is too hard to do that, because it was only some few hours since I ran the fastest time, and I don't think it's good to think about it. I think the core thing now is to make sure I recover fully.
After the race, you made very strongly a point about you felt part of a community. I think you said something like, you know, in Kenya we are in a community, I'm part of a community, and you went on to thank Coach Patrick Sang, but the runners you train with and everybody. And looking at your Twitter feed, you go into great detail about you feel part of this. And also you said, in terms of future plans, you're going to discuss this with all those in the community. Is that right in what I understood?
Yes, it's right. In sport, you need to have a good team. That's why I'm going with a discussion about when I'm going to run. Is I'm going to have a full discussion with the management, with the sponsor, with the technical team, or that's the coaching team. That's part of the team whereby they really hold me in their hands.
Has it taken you time to bring that team together, you and Patrick Sang say, because you've been a long-term partnership, you and Patrick, but to assemble a team that meets all your needs, because you talk about recovery and preparation as well?
It's not a one-day event. Of course, to get a good team and a positive team, it takes ages, but I'm lucky, and we are lucky as a global sports community to be helping people who are really thinking in a positive way. And we have come a long way. That's why we're helping our teammates, that wherever we're training together and we try to think together. We have a coaching system, we have management system, we have sponsorship systems, and above all, we have the medical system whereby they handle us with massage and everything.
You are the Olympic marathon champion. Tokyo 2020 is getting closer every day. It's in your thoughts. To prepare for a championship marathon, do you prepare any differently compared to the big city races where, okay, there are pacemakers and time is a big factor in terms of success, but championship race, Olympics above all, it's all about the gold medal, isn't it?
It's actually about gold medal, but preparation is the same. That's why you should be comfortable either with the pacemakers or without the pacemakers. And the preparation, I can say, is the same.
Is that your ultimate ambition, to win again at the Olympic Marathon Tokyo 2020?
Yes, although still far, but it's at the back of my mind that one, I will really assemble myself in Tokyo.
And before the Olympics, next year is World Championship year in Doha. Would at this time, do you have any thoughts about running the next year's World Championship Marathon?
No, I don't have any plan for now, but it's by the way that the Olympics, because I'm still an Olympic champion, that I feel like defending the title. But with the next marathon and World Championships, I have not that plan. It's still highly for me to really say I'm going to do this and this. It can work.
Well, Elliot, I think everybody who's was lucky enough to be here was privileged to see that achievement. It was quite stupendous. We just watch and are eager to see where you next run and what you can next run. Eliud Kipchoge, the world marathon record holder and Olympic champion, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya, the new world record holder in the marathon. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America. VOA. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, 19-year-old Slovenian rookie Luka Doncic helped lead the Dallas Mavericks to their 12th victory of the season. The AP's Bob Stevens reports from Dallas, Texas.
The red-hot Dallas Mavericks made it 9 wins in the last 11 games. They defeated the Portland Trailblazers 111-102. The Mavs have now won 8 straight at home, their longest winning streak at home since 2011. Luka Doncic led 5 Mavs starters in double figures with 21. Wesley Matthews had 17, while DeAndre Jordan had 17 boards. Damian Lillard led all scorers with 33 for Portland, who has lost 8 of their last 11. Mavs coach Rick Carlisle says this was a good team win.
You look at the stats, all our guys were a plus. The guys that started and the guys that came off the bench. It's a huge deal.
Bob Stevens, Dallas.
Thanks, Bob. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Now let's go to Indianapolis, Indiana, where the hometown Indiana Pacers have spoiled the debut of the new coach of the Chicago Bulls. The AP's Tom McCabe reports from Indianapolis.
Jim Boylan's first game as the Chicago head coach did not go the way he wanted. The Bulls lost their 7th straight, falling to the Pacers 96-90. It was a close defensive struggle, and only in the final minute did Indiana have some breathing room. The Pacers held Chicago to 39% shooting and got 23 points from Darren Collison.
Tonight, you know, I saw something. I had to be a little more aggressive. I saw the tempo of the game. We wasn't really getting no easy buckets, so I tried to, you know, push the pace a little bit more.
14-10 Indiana, just back from the West Coast, snapped a 2-game losing streak. Larry Markkanen led the 5-20 Bulls with 21 points. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
Thanks, Tom. In a matchup between two Florida-based NBA teams, the Orlando Magic scored a 105-90 road victory against the Miami Heat. And in two more NBA results Tuesday night, the Sacramento Kings beat the host Phoenix Suns 122-105, and the Utah Jazz routed the visiting San Antonio Spurs 139-105. Utah set a club record by making 20 three-point shots. Meanwhile, Jazz center Rudy Gobert, the NBA's reigning Defensive Player of the Year, has been fined $15,000 by the league for publicly criticizing the officiating after his team's 102-100 loss to the Heat on Sunday in Miami, Florida. Gobert fouled Heat guard Dwayne Wade with about 3 seconds left in the game, and the guard's 2 free throws gave Miami the win. Utah's head coach Quinn Snyder showed support for Gobert, his big center from France. Before Tuesday night's big victory against San Antonio, Coach Snyder offered to split the $15,000 fine with Gobert, but he added, just this once. Just this once, Rudy. I can't keep reaching into my wallet. When you get disciplined by the NBA, you're going to have to pay it up in the future. In more NBA disciplinary action, the league has fined Los Angeles Clippers guard Patrick Beverley $25,000 for throwing a basketball at a fan during a game in Dallas, Texas. Not allowed. You don't throw the basketball at fans, Patrick. Not acceptable. $25,000. You're docked, Patrick. In more NBA news, Philadelphia 76ers guard Markelle Fultz is out indefinitely with what's described as thoracic outlet syndrome. The number one pick in the 2017 NBA draft visited with specialists to figure out what's ailing him. The 76ers say the doctors identified a compression or irritation in the area between the lower neck and upper chest. That's what's called a thoracic outlet syndrome. You're learning new medical details on the Sunny Side of Sports. Physical therapy was recommended for Fultz before he returns to the basketball court. Markelle Fultz played in only 14 games last season because of a shoulder injury. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. World Boxing Organization Super Bantamweight Champion Isaac Dogbe of Ghana is going for his fourth victory of 2018 on Saturday night when he fights Mexico's Emmanuel Navarrete at Madison Square Garden in New York City. The 24-year-old Dogbe is nicknamed Royal Storm. And you'd be right to say he stormed past his three previous opponents this year. In early January, Isaac stopped Mexico's Cesar Juarez in five rounds at Bukum Boxing Arena in Accra. In April, Dogbe beat American Jesse Magdaleno on an 11th-round technical knockout in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And in August, Royal Storm quickly retained his WBO title with a first-round knockout of Japanese challenger Hidenori Otake near the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona. I asked our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, to preview Dogbe Navarrete for us.
Oh, the fight fans are talking about this fight, December 8th, with the Royal Storm and Navarrete. We're expecting bombs away, Sonny. We're expecting a knockout. These are two knockout artists. Television is talking about it. We are waiting. It's one of the fights that will close the year. So it's an exciting time for the fight game where a warrior from Africa will step into the ring and do his thing and defend his title, closing a big year. So excitement is there. We are looking forward to this fight. It's going to be on TV, and it's going to be millions of eyeballs around the globe. Hope they show it in Africa, Sonny. Hope they show it in Ghana live.
Namdi, one of Isaac Dogbe's Ghanaian countrymen, Richard Comey, I understand you have an update on him.
Sonny, yes. Lou DiBella, who also is a promoter for Deontay Wilder. I was with him Saturday night at Staples Center, and we talked about Richard Comey's title fight. And he told me it's almost set. It's going to be in February. He's got television, and he's going to be in Texas. They are not going to Russia. Remember, I was worried about the Russian promoter outbidding the American promoter. Lou DiBella is Richard Comey's promoter, and he's got the date, he's got the venue. He's going to be in Texas. It's going to be announced any day now.
Isaac Dogbe fighting at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Madison Square Garden could also host another big fight in 2019. Talk about that, Namdi.
Oh, Sonny, for the pound-for-pound belt, we're talking about Big Daddy Terence Crawford against Amir Khan. You know who that is. Amir Khan has been guaranteed $5 million to come to America March 23, Madison Square Garden, to take on Terence Crawford for the pound-for-pound title, I think it's another big one for boxing. It's going to be an exciting fight because, mind you, Crawford has been destroying all these guys, and we believe he's not been really, really tested by a welterweight. With Amir Khan is going to give him some movement, give him some here and there, and then he may make him look stupid. We may see what happened with Deontay Wilder happened to Terence Crawford, March 23 at the Garden in New York City.
Well, Namdi, with just a few weeks left in 2018, how about some general thoughts on boxing this year? And maybe look ahead a little bit to 2019.
Sonny, we can declare 2018 is the year of the big boys. We got knockouts, we got decisions, we got action, you know. We got it happening in the UK with thousands of people, 90,000, 80,000. And we're back in the US with Canelo, Triple G. I mean, it's an exciting time. You can watch a fight on your cell phone in your bedroom. You don't have to pay all these crazy cable deals. It's an exciting time. Champions are fighting champions and fights have been made. 2019, Sonny, is going to be even a bigger year for boxing because, one, we have the streaming services, The Zone and ESPN and the Fox channel, and the champions are now lined up to fight each other. I mean, look at what we have on plate for 2019. We got the rematch with Canelo and Triple G. We got a rematch that will go anyway. Anthony Joshua against Tyson Fury. Anthony Joshua against Deontay Wilder. And then you don't even talk about the welterweights. That's a loaded division. So much happening. So my prayer is for us to see this action also move to Africa, where we can see more warriors come from Africa. This is an exciting time to be a boxer. It's an exciting time to be in the game, to be an aficionado, because the money is there, Sonny. We're talking about millions of dollars. Even remember, The Zone gave Anthony Joshua's promoter $1.2 billion to put in boxing. So everybody's making good money. It's time for the Hollywood man to get back in the game, bro.
Thanks, Namdi. Get back in the game, bro. Get some of that Naira in your pocket, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In soccer news, Greg Berhalter was introduced on Tuesday as the next coach of the U.S. men's national team. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. At age 45, Berhalter will be the first U.S. World Cup player to coach the men's national team. He resigned as coach of the Columbus Crew of Major League Soccer to take up his new position. And on Tuesday, Berhalter spoke at a press conference where he pledged to make his new team and the sport itself even better.
I'm excited for the opportunity to turn this group of men into a team. I'll be focusing on the players and the team, how we can compete first and foremost. I'm focused on building a style of play, and I'm focused on team cohesive. I know it's going to be a challenge, but I know there's quality in this group, and I know that the closer we can become together, the closer we can come to reach our goals. I'm committed to working harder every day and build a team that the fans will be proud of. There's nothing more than our country wants right now than to be proud of our U.S. national team, and I'm committed to making it happen.
Berhalter himself knows his way around a soccer field. He played in Europe for 15 years, made 14 league appearances for the English club Crystal Palace, and the former defender appeared in 2 World Cups for the United States. Berhalter brought an end to his 18-year career when he hung up his boots in 2011. But in 2014, he became head coach of the Crew and took his team to the MLS Cup final the following year. U.S. Soccer has announced the first match with Berhalter as head coach of the U.S. soccer team will be a friendly match against Panama on January 27th in the U.S. state of Arizona. Now let's go across the globe to Lagos, Nigeria, and to say football is popular there would be a gross understatement. FIFA President Gianni Infantino is quoted as saying, "In Nigeria, football is life." However, a small but growing number of Nigerian cyclists are hoping their sport will garner its share of attention and support. Professional cyclist Sylvia Odom was once a footballer, but switched to cycling 4 years ago to repair the damage she endured on the field.
I used to play football. So I stopped playing football because of I had knee injury. So I switched to cycling. That helped me correct the knee because the knee injury was bad. So I now have so much love with the game cycling.
After making the switch, Sylvia won bronze that same year at the Junior All-Africa Games in Botswana. But despite bringing home a medal, government and corporate support for her and other professional cyclists was and still is practically non-existent. But a 300-member group called Psychology is working to change that. Along with lobbying for corporate sponsorship, Psychology organizes bike rides and races to lure curious competitors to the sport. And for riders who are concerned about the city's reputation for gridlock traffic and bad-tempered motorists, Psychology Captain Bimpe Olufemi says the club has developed a strategy to keep the riders safe.
One of the complaints that we get from people when we're talking to them about cycling is the fact that the roads are bad. The fact that, you know, traffic are on the roads. The fact that there's bad driving on the roads. So how do you maneuver through all of that? In Psychology, we actually do that by having cars that follow us when we're cycling on our Saturday rides to protect us from the craziness. We ride in groups, and it also helps riding groups because then you're not isolated.
Psychology is on a mission to not only promote the sport of cycling, but to give promising athletes like Sylvia Odom a platform to take part in high-profile international competitions like the upcoming Cape Town Cycle Tour, which will be held next March in South Africa. And that's all from me. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African football news, Egypt has ruled itself out of the bidding process to host the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament, saying it will not compete with another Arabic country. The Confederation of African Football, CAF, is looking for a new host after stripping Cameroon of the hosting rights 5 days ago. Morocco and South Africa are reportedly under consideration as replacement hosts, so that's where that Egyptian statement of not wanting to compete with another Arabic country comes into play, referring to the Moroccans. CAF has said it hopes to have a new host in place by the end of December. Egypt has the most successful Nations Cup pedigree of any African team, having won the continental title a record 7 times. The Egyptians have hosted the Africa Cup of Nations 4 times, with the last time in 2006, when the Pharaohs lifted the trophy. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a wonderful photo of Luka Modric, the 2018 Ballon d'Or trophy winner, kissing the trophy with his family. You see Luka's daughter, Luka's son, and Luka's wife, as well as Luka, all kissing that golden soccer ball, the Ballon d'Or. And let's give a shout out for Benoit Tessier, the Reuters photographer who took that wonderful photo. And that wraps up the December 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawale. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the role of political parties in Africa. Is there room for opposition political groups? Does the African citizen have a right to form an independent opinion? Those issues and more on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, this is James Butty, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
We humans have a built-in need to fit into society and be accepted by our peers and the people we love. Past research has found that the need to seek approval of others was noticeable in 4- and 5-year-old children. A new study from Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, suggests children are already aware that they're being judged and want the approval of others by 24 months. To make their findings, the researchers conducted 4 experiments with 144 children between 14 and 24 months old. In one experiment, the researchers taught toddlers how to operate a toy robot by remote control and then watched them manipulate the toy with either a neutral expression or just didn't pay attention and pretended to read. The children showed more inhibition and embarrassment when being watched rather than when they weren't being watched. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Whoa.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information. This is